Sometimes it's easy to, I believe the word is transpose, your current thought or times, if you will, onto the past. And I think it's just human nature because it's the natural thing. You're looking at common experiences, and sometimes you can also counter with the expression, there's nothing new under the sun. But sometimes in ordinary time, it's easy to think that everything just fell into place and things just were rolling always greatly for any of the prophets just by the fact that they were a prophet or an apostle. And when we look at church history, and for that matter, salvation history from the very beginning, there were times when things were not going exactly stellar. There were times when you had the status quo and people who were more or less content with it. You have, even today, people who are going to try to manipulate things to suit their own purpose, and that can be a temptation for anyone. In gospel reading here, we have an instruction, more or less, to go out two by two, to take nothing with them on a journey but a walking stick. And coming over here, I was actually going to St. Joseph Oratory, and I saw two gentlemen dressed in shirt sleeves and a tie, and I presume they were probably from the Mormons going out and preaching and going two by two, and that follows this passage. And even though I'm not of the same faith and I'm not here to try to endorse them per se, I've got to give the credit where it's due, and that many people who are raised as Mormons really take their faith to heart. And that's an encouragement for all of us to take our faith to heart and to really try to live God's message each and every day of our lives. Having said that, what exactly does God want me to do? And that can be answered tellingly in leaving each day open to His Word and His expression of the Word in our daily lives. I could say one more thing. Could you clarify that a little bit more and give me an exact thing of what I'm supposed to do? And like many things that we might ask for, you have to be careful with what you do ask and what you might receive in response to it. But really, in all its sincerity and seriousness, if we really examine the message of the gospel from time to time, there will be a passage that suddenly leaps out at you. It's almost like God speaking directly to you, saying, listen up, this is applicable to you. In the gospel here, which is not my favorite section of it, but nonetheless is applicable, it says basically to take no food, no sack, no money in their belts, and to go out and preach. And to take that to heart, especially as a priest, is to look at it as to what the message is. I have a vehicle that's supplied to me. I've got more than enough clothes to use, et cetera, all the things that I more or less need. All my needs are being met. If I were to try to manipulate the gospel a little bit more and to obtain things that I do not need, I would be, in a sense, going against my own vows of poverty, would be, in a sense, going against the will of God, because I'd be looking out for number one, much like people who think that they are accredited just by the very nature of who they are. And I'm not trying to refer to anyone currently or no one here, but the idea that, just like in the first reading when Amos speaks out as speaking the truth, he's speaking for reform, and one of the clergy, if you will, admonishes him and says, who are you to be telling us all this? Go out and get away from here. And an immediate reply, and this is somewhat, I think, true to human nature, the gentleman says to him, Amos says, look, I'm just a regular shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. I'm not here. I'm not of the priestly class. But I'm telling you, God told me to say this, and I have got to say it, and I've got to say it with conviction. He wasn't worried about getting money. He wasn't worried about getting people to have popularity. He wasn't worried about getting a name for himself to be carried out in the book of the Bible, if you will. He was there to do God's will, and he spoke it with conviction. There's a section of American Catholicism that I'm reading, and it's basically American thought or theology, if you will. Maybe theology is a wrong term, but the implications of the Catholic writers of the past centuries here. And a few of them are such that people that can be somewhat troublesome. They weren't satisfied with the status quo. They spoke out, and they were Catholic, and they were adamant, if you will, about being a Catholic and listening and doing something about social conditions that were less than stellar. And like many people, depending on my mood, I guess, I could say that I might disagree with this person on certain issues. But the fact was that after a period of time and after looking at it, and after realizing that I can be guilty of being wrong at times, I can be guilty of prejudice, I can be guilty of judging somebody, et cetera, et cetera, it's to open up my eyes and my heart to the message that is there. And that is to try to stand up for people and trying to help people when you're really a Catholic and really professing your faith. It's not a one-day-a-week-only type of admission of faith. It's that living of faith each and every day. And when you do it that way, it doesn't have to cause revolution in your life, but evolution into becoming a better person, a person more concerned about others. I'm always pleased to find out about people who will go behind the scenes and try to help people who are down and out. In fact, I'm even pleased more so when I found out that there's many people who really have got a lot of money and they quietly go about seeking to help people that are down and out. Certain causes, people who have lost their job or people who've been burnt out of their home, whatever it is, that they've been able to chip in and help and make things go better for that family or that person in need. I can extend it to many other different areas of society as well, many different programs that are out there to help people who are down and out. That's that idea of when we realize our faith is what it's saying, is to help people who are down and out, who may have lost their way, and maybe need a shoulder to rely on, may need a helping hand, and most of all, a person who is concerned about their being. Not because they're going to gain status from it, not because you're going to get money out of it, but the idea of helping another person out. I was at a funeral for someone. There was just one of our workers, and I didn't know the gentleman at all to speak of. And I'm there at the funeral home, and there was a minister giving a little prayer service there, and one lady comes up, and she's probably in about her 40s or so, and she spoke about this man who had died, and she said, you know, I was a time in my life where I had some problems, and my uncle here, he was able to assist me, and he actually helped give me some guidance when I was way off track, and I was able to get my life together, and I'm glad that he had that courage to be able to speak and help me when no one else really wanted to. She didn't really specify all the problems that she had, but she had some problems. And like anything, it's no one's glad to see somebody with problems. Nobody wants to broadcast or embarrass them. But it's the idea of realizing if somebody makes a mistake, it's trying to assist them in getting their life back in order. How many of us do we not sin and we go to the sacrament of reconciliation to get our lives back in order, to get ourselves in good graces, if you will, with Jesus Christ? Go and do likewise. If we can help somebody who is down and out, maybe who've had a problem or two, not shunning them, but trying to help them get their life back on track, is probably one of the best things that we can do. It doesn't have to be anything super sensational, but it's the idea of having empathy for a person and then trying to help them as best as we can. Now, returning to the gospel message, one particular thing for me is that the idea of saying, do not look out for number one as the sole purpose in life. In other words, if I'm going to get worried about being the best dressed individual, having the most money, having the fancy cars, the house, et cetera, all these things, obviously it's not going to do me very well on the day of judgment if I'm going to ignore the needs of others. I'm sure I will never be in the mega financial category. I haven't ever accomplished that much in my personal life beforehand, as a priest, before I was a priest. Certainly after becoming a priest, it is not to mismanage money or anything, to look out for myself, but to take that obligation seriously and to help as many people as I can, whether it's professionally or even in privately. The idea of looking out for other individuals, leading them to Christ, and showing that our faith is something to be demonstrated, not just something spoken only by word alone. When we do so, we're listening to the word, and more importantly, we're incorporating it into our lives, showing that others that we are indeed people of faith, people of action.